Good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of A Dicey Experience. I am your host for this wonderful game show. My name is Jason Sketch, and with us are her contestants tonight. Coming in first, just having lost a sad, sad game of Monopoly, is Lazy Man.
I don't believe I've ever lost a game of Monopoly that was played fairly. But I am Lazy Man, and I play Jean Lafayette, the swashbuckler rogue and potential Drake Warden. We'll see.
Having completed his final run on the Ninja Warrior competition, is our main man, Meerkat.
Final run? Did I just fall off at the very first obstacle? I am Meerkat, playing Lucas the Chef.
Oh, that's it. And last but certainly not least is the man of the hour, the man who's never lost a game of Clue, not once! Might even compete with Colonel Mustard himself, Stolen.
Mr. Green has nothing on me. I am Stolen. I am playing Crew Saipan, the Warlock Tortle.
Well, it is wonderful to have everyone back for another episode of A Dicey Experience. Since Jean has refused this time to give us the background for what happened last week, Mr. Crew, why don't you step into that role?
Me? Why me?
It suits you.
So, last episode, Jean decided to draw a chalk circle and go into it for who knows what reason. That then sent Lucas and Crew on a wild goose chase to find him. Meanwhile, Jean is on a different planet of Monkfrey talking to Saint Marie about his past.
Very cool. And where did you guys end up at in the last episode?
Oh, we ended up in Saint Marie's house, chilling with her monkey.
That's absolutely correct. Find out what our adventures are doing and where we're at. There's so many possibilities that could happen from this point forward. Lucas and Jean, do y'all want to have a roll-off to see who goes first?
Sure. As soon as I remember which one of these is a d20.
All right, I think just grabbing a d20 each, and whoever has the higher number can decide if they want to go first, if they want to go second.
I have rolled a 17.
I rolled a 16.
Close.
I will defer to the second half.
We'll take this coming second, okay. Lucas, you're standing in St. Marie's kitchen as kind of a reminder of our layout. It's like your grandmother's little kitchenette. It's got that, you know, cheap plastic tile in it, whatever that means. You know, you never really walked on this type of flooring before. It's got those kind of faded curtains kind of hanging in the window that kind of let some sunlight in, but at the same time, they're kind of blocking it. They're really dusty, like they haven't really taken the time to clean that in a while. But they have some really nice, ornate wood furniture around. There's a large cabinet. There's a wooden table that's kind of like a dining table that looks like it's seen about four people at it. There's some cards kind of scattered on top of it and a tea set that's sitting on the counter. There's vines and ivy growing throughout the room. And the walls are kind of like a sky blue color. A little faded, like they need to be repainted sometime soon, but all the same, with the smell of the mothballs in the room, it is a kitchen. Very neat, very organized. Like we said, it's very pristine on how she's got all of her kitchen things organized, down to her pots and pans, all the way up to her silverware. What did you roll on your investigation for finding that recipe?
3.
You got a 3. Yeah, you stand in the middle of the room and you look around and there's no recipe book sitting out anywhere.
Okay.
I can't believe she had the nerve to hide it.
How dare she?
Thought it would be framed on the wall.
Well, would you like to try a few things in the room?
with my 3, I guess I just kind of looked at the ceiling and I was like, oh, I guess it's not there.
It's a thatched roof. It's kind of nice.
I know I've only got a certain amount of time before the monkey comes back. Hopefully.
He's still out there with his hand out trying to get a coin from Crew.
I'm gonna try a cupboard and see how loud it is to open, and if it's quiet enough, I'm gonna quickly just like open in quick succession all of the cupboards that are in the kitchen and see if I can see some kind of lockbox or secret folder or something.
And there are like cabinets all over the room. The cupboard itself,
cabinet door, sorry.
Oh, yeah, you can open all the cabinet doors. There's, like you said, all the pots and pans are in there. A few of them squeak when you open, but the monkey doesn't seem to pay any mind. You hear him getting a little irate in the other room, towards crew, but nothing to indicate that he'd be coming back to your direction. All the cabinets themselves are unlocked. The cupboard is a nice oak with some vine etchings on the outside. Some of the ivy is growing on it. It's the vines that etch on this cupboard kind of make a border on the outside, and then there's a little lock on the inside of this cupboard. It is definitely locked.
I want to look the cupboard over and see if it's trapped before I try anything.
Yeah, make an investigation check or inspection.
Investigation 19.
Nah, it just looks like the cupboard is locked.
I'm not proficient.
It's got like that keyhole, so you'd have to like...
I'm gonna take the fork that's sticking and holding up my man bun, and I'm gonna take the fork out, and I'm gonna try and like stick the fork in and jiggle it around in the lock to see if it opens.
You stick the fork in there, and suddenly you hear... What are you doing, Lucas? And you look up, sitting on top of the cupboard, dangling his feet and swinging, is the Nilbog. You don't hear this voice at all in the other room. It is just Lucas.
Mr. Nilbog, I didn't realize that you followed us.
Yes, that was part of the agreement, and John vanished in a flash, so I figured you might be a little more entertaining to watch. What are we doing at St. Marie's?
Well, we're trying to find John, but we're taking a little side quest right now to try and search for the lost recipe of St. Marie's rum cake.
She lost it, or you're going to borrow it, personally?
I am just trying to find it so I can look at it and memorize it.
Oh.
Hopefully I can replicate it on the ship and have our own rum cakes for you and your friends to eat.
I do like rum cakes. And put a little bit of bugbear butter. I saw that bugbear come on.
I will have to ask him about that, yeah.
It'd be a wonderful time. Lyra would approve of this.
Sorry?
Lyra would approve of this?
The eventual goal is to make people happy.
Oh, this makes it a lot more interesting. Well, are you going to get in, or...?
Well, I'm not very good at this type of thing. Since you're here, would you mind helping me?
Oh, yes, you can... Go ahead and have an advantage on your roll. He jumps down and he taps your little lockpick and grins real big. You can roll a sleight of hand with advantage.
Okay. Oh, a natural one.
With advantage?
Oh, and a natural 20.
Whoa. Okay! I was like, you rolled two natural ones is what I was concerned about at first.
Yeah. I got a 0 for sleight of hand, so 20.
Natural 20. Yeah. It pops that lock. You're surprised. It's almost like he taps it and grins, and the fort kind of moves on its own and pops that lock open. Crew, you see the Jackson's ears perk up a little bit, but he is still like jumping on the back of the chair there, screaming at you with his hand out in front of him. Seems very upset with you.
What are you wanting? I don't know what jumping hands means.
He's putting his hands out and he's stabbing his palm of his hand with his other hand.
Seeing what Lucas had done earlier with the gold coin, I'm gonna reach into my pouch and hand him a copper piece.
He takes it and he bites it, and he, right when you hear that lock pop in the other room, a copper piece flies and pings all over the floor of the kitchen there. But you're in the cabinet, and the monkey is screaming a little louder now at crew in the other room. So,
I slowly open the doors, hopefully silently, and scan everything that's in there.
Yeah, I would say with the sleight of hand and with being at that natural 20, you're able to get that cabinet door open very quietly as well. And both you and the Nilbog peer in. He's kind of like sitting on you piggyback style on your back and kind of peering around.
What do you think?
There are lots of books in there. You look and there's like a green light kind of glowing from the cupboard towards you. But all the books are in the... There's several books in the cupboard there. One looks like it's kind of glowing a little bit more than the rest, but the entire cabinet kind of glows this green... cupboard glows this green color, and there's these runes kind of all around the border of the inside of the cupboard. It looks like there's books in there.
Do I see the green glow in the living room?
I want to say it's dim enough that it's not shining into the living room as of yet.
And the green glow is coming from the runes or from a book?
They're coming from the runes. When I say the other book kind of glows, it looks like the green focuses in on that book a little bit.
Oh, I get you.
But the runes are making that green color.
And so there's a single book that is lit up by these runes, like a centerpiece, kind of like special item in the cupboard, or...
Yes, exactly. Okay. Like that. There are still other books in there, and other recipe books, but this one seems to be the one that is standing out based on the runes.
Do I trust it? I will... is there anything written on the book, or anything like that?
No. Cover? No, there's nothing... So you're just seeing the spine, and the spine is kind of a blue spine that's got, like, one gold line at the top, one gold line at the bottom, but it doesn't look like there's something written on the spine of this book.
I'll go to grab it.
Okay. You reach in, and as you grab the book, the other one goes, "Oh my, you should have watched the magic trap." Ugh. And he vanishes. Vines fly out of those runes, and they grasp onto you. Make me a strength saving throw.
Thinking I would check with traps. Strength.
See. Check the outside, not the inside.
Yeah. 14.
They latch on and grasp you. You are caught. Your hand can still hold on to the book, but those vines have you in place. Crew from the other room, suddenly Jackson stops screaming at you. His eyes turn blood red, and he starts growing in size. You see him dart off and charge into the kitchen, and he's huffing, very frustrated. You turn and look around the room, and the walls are beginning to ice over. You kind of hear it as the walls and the room itself is suddenly becoming a giant ice cube, and you are inside of it.
I start chasing after Jackson. I'm sorry. Here's a gold piece. Here.
Jackson.
Take it. And I throw a gold piece at him.
The gold piece bounces off of his head, and he completely ignores it. He is now about the size of a gorilla. He's got large fangs. His wings are massive. He's got these red eyes, and he goes into the kitchen, and he growls really loud, almost roars at Lucas. Let's roll for initiative.
And just tell me if I can, but as the vines latched onto me, I wanted to cast Dispel Magic on the cupboard. Can I do that now, or is it during initiative?
Does Dispel Magic require you to do hand motions?
It's somatic is hand motion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, verbal and somatic.
Okay. Roll me a d20. Just roll me a d20.
Come on. 8.
Unfortunately, your wrist is so tight on your hand that you can't quite get it to move those fingers on the inside to just help the spell to kick off the way you need it to.
Okay. Would that cost me a spell slot, or did I not get it off at all?
I would say you wouldn't even be able to get it off at all. I don't think it wouldn't cost you a spell slot. It's more like you're just, you know, as you're like, oh, I can do that. As you start to do the motions, your fingers don't quite move, and so you don't lose a spell slot, but you're unable to cast the spell.
Okay.
So, but let's roll for initiative. Okay. 25 to 20. Why this never happens. You guys never end up rolling.
I will never roll above a 20.
Oh.
So.
Man.
Just saying. Even with the nat 20, I will never
get it. Oh, really? You have a negative on dex? You both have negative on dex?
I have a negative
on dex. So let's do 20 to 15 then.
I'm way down there.
What are y'all's... What's y'all's initiative?
Three.
Nine.
Nine and three. Okay. Okay. So Jackson got a natural 20 on his initiative roll.
Of course he did.
And so it's 22. And he's going to use one of his actions. He's going to start beating his wings, and it starts to blow all the furniture and stuff in the room in your direction. Lucas, and this kind of happens right after the gold coin hits him in the head, and all the furniture starts flying your direction. Make me a dexterity saving throw, please.
19.
19, okay. Yeah, good. So you're able to dodge out of the way, even though your hand's kind of caught in the vines there. You're able to move as the furniture all kind of slams against the wall. Pieces of it do fall off, so you're going to take a little bit of bludgeoning damage from those things flying at you, but you're not compressed against the wall and not pinned by any of the furniture or anything like that. That is 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, crew! You see Jackson seems to be freaking out a little bit more now. He's ignoring your gold coin and just sent furniture flying at Lucas. You're maybe 5 feet away from the kitchen itself.
Okay. Do I see Lucas tied up in the vines?
Not yet, but if you stepped 5 feet more into the room, you would definitely see.
I'll step into the room, see Lucas all tied up in the vines, be like, what's going on? What did you do? And then I'm going to run, and am I able to get up and place myself in between Jackson and Lucas?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
I'll do that and just kind of stick out my arms and just kind of like try and stop him and hold an attack action. I will hold, I'll hold an Eldritch Blast.
Sounds good. As you step in, the rest of the house has iced over, or iced in. It's on the inside of the walls, and so you guys are in a giant ice box. It is cold, but you are trapped in this house. Mr. Lucas, what are we going to do?
Sorry, Ball, I couldn't help it. I thought that I could find the recipe and maybe use it for my competition. Is the monkey in the room with us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was in the room. He was there first. Flapped his large, giant wings now. He's about the size of a large creature at this point. So, like, he's a little bit bigger than you guys are.
I am going to... are both my hands tied up?
No, just one of them.
Okay. With my free hand... Sorry.
Did you stick both hands in there to try to get the book, or just one hand?
I probably would have done both.
Both hands. So then both your hands are trapped inside the cupboard. Thank you for your honesty. I'm sorry.
All right. I can't do that.
You can attempt to make a strength check to try to break out of the vines.
Yeah, all of my spells require my hands.
So yeah, make me a strength check. I would take athletics if you need to make an argument for that as well.
I start pulling the vines with my hands and put both of my feet on either side of the cupboard door, and with all my might and pushing against it with my legs, I'm gonna try and break free.
Okay. Take a point of inspiration for coolness.
17?
17, yeah, you're able to pop out of the grip of the vines, but they do cover up the book. So, but the monkey is still very upset that you even attempted. I'll take that as a bonus action, if you want me to.
I would like to do a spell. Do I see the house being an ice cube, basically?
Yes, yeah, you're seeing that the house is iced over.
I'm gonna reach into one of the pockets on my belt, and I'm gonna take out the 300 gold diamonds that I purchased, and I am going to wave it in front of the monkey's face and say, oh, look at this, I'll give you this if you stop, and I'm gonna cast Incite Greed. He has to make a wisdom saving throw or be charmed, and all he can do is stare at the gem.
For how long does this last?
Up to a minute, and he can do nothing except move closer. You can't take an action or anything, and just makes a wisdom saving throw at the end of each of its turn.
He did get a 16.
Damn it. It's a 14 is my save. I'm gonna keep waving it. Oh, you can have this if you want. Just let us go.
You can try to make a persuasion check with that if you'd like to.
I'm doing a lot on my turn, but...
What does that Incite Greed spell normally look like? Or is this the first time you're casting it?
It's a gem worth at least 50 gold, and as I hold it out, it makes it shine really bright and makes it look like almost invisible, but not, and it catches the light in every which way and just makes it seem like it's the most perfect thing in the world, and all you can do is just stare at it in awe.
Awesome. Stolen, can I borrow you in the Whisper channel for a second?
Yeah.
Perfect. So when Lucas casts a spell, you do look over, and normally he'll grab onto like his Lyra's symbol to cast his spells. But this time he doesn't. He puts his hand in his pocket, and you swear for half a second you see the Nilbog kind of just trying to do like a Vanna White around the gem. Obviously it doesn't work, so the Nilbog fades, but it is a interesting moment. Okay. It is now the Jackson's turn. Jackson's gonna a little bit, and he's gonna stomp forward a couple paces, and he's gonna swing his fist at Peru to try to knock him out of the way. Peru,
do I get to attack?
That
was good. That is a 23.
That hits, yeah.
Sweet.
What are you hitting with?
Eldritch Blast.
It is a what type of spell?
That's a cantrip.
Right. What type of damage does it do?
Thunder. I'm sorry, not thunder, force.
Force, okay.
It's 11 force plus... So 13 force damage, and then 3 thunder damage. Because I'm going to use my Genie's Wrath, which allows me to add my proficiency bonus into my damage once per turn.
Okay, perfect. All right, so Jackson, he's going to swing his... Jackson's going to swing his old fist there. Their fist. He's going to miss, because he's blown back by that Eldritch Blast, so it affects his impact of being able to swing. He gets a little more frustrated, and he goes again to try to now grab you. So we'll do a strength v strength, and he's going to attempt to grab you and throw you out of the way. So, okay. What did you roll?
13.
He got a natural 20. So he does grab you and throw you across the room. You'll take 2 points of bludgeoning damage as you slam against the ice wall there. And he keeps moving towards Lucas. It is your turn, though, crew.
So, am I prone on the floor?
I would say, yeah, possible. You've slammed against a wall, so you probably would have fallen on the floor prone. Yep.
Okay. So then I will get back up, and then I will charge at him, and I will jump, basically, to tackle him. But I unnaturally almost glide towards him through the air using my fly speed that I just got.
Oh! Okay.
So I will attempt to tackle him.
Okay.
Nice. Do I see him fly?
I mean, yeah.
I'm not trying to hide it. In fact, it's surprising to me that I have been able to fly. This is the first time I've done it, so that would be... I believe you can fly. A 16 to hit.
16 hits, yeah, man. Hit a gorilla is the
eye. So would that just be considered an unarmed strike, I guess? Or I was trying to grapple him.
You're trying to grapple him? So it is going to be strength v strength. What you said you rolled a 16?
16.
You rolled a 6. So yeah. Yes. You've got him grappled. He's
I'm gonna just like hold him to the ground. Jackson, what is going on? I'm just gonna be screaming at him as I'm pinning him to the ground. Or I guess actually, it's more like, monkey, what's going on? Because I don't know his
voice. Good, I was about to say. he starts. And he's kind of pointing at the cupboard and Lucas. But Lucas, it is your turn. Crew just knocked him to the ground. Unless, Crew, you got a bonus action you'd like to do?
Nope.
Do I try?
You only live once in D&D, buddy.
Yeah. I will since my hands are free now, I'll try and dispel the cupboard before I do anything.
Okay, yeah. Tell me about dispel magic.
Choose one creature, object, or magical effect. Any spell of third level or lower, the target ends. For each spell of fourth level or higher, make an ability check. So if it's third or lower, it's just gone. But if it's four or higher, I need to...
Okay. What does it normally look like when you cast a spell?
I take out... I'm really trying to think of... I take out a very small jar from my side pocket, and it's a mason jar that has a very like tight lid on it, and I cover my nose with one hand and I open it up, and it's a durian smell that comes out of it and wafts over towards the cupboard.
Okay, very cool. I imagine you kind of, do you usually touch your Lyra symbol as well when you do this?
I guess I go to cover my nose, but it makes its way down my face and holds my chest with the symbol.
Perfect.
Underneath.
Okay. Yeah. You reach into your pocket, and instead of pulling that jar out, you pull out that rock that your friend gave you all those years ago, that mossy rock. And you watch magic kind of emanate from it instead. You kind of see a visage of the Nilbog kind of grin real big, and he just tears through the vines, ripping them to shreds. Turns back, kind of does a Cheshire Cat smile, and then he vanishes. Anything else you want to do on your turn, Lucas?
I'm going to stare at the rock for a moment. We're going to unpack that later, Nilbog.
Did I see the Nilbog in that moment?
I mean, I imagine you're so focused on trying to keep this giant gorilla held to the ground that, okay.
Probably not.
Did the runes on the cover go away completely?
Yes, yeah, they dimmed. They are no longer even shining a light on the book that you were trying to grab.
All right, can I try and grab the book now?
Absolutely.
I take it.
So when they are grappled, they're not necessarily restrained. So he is going to try to slam two fists against you. His first fist is a... Hold on. It's definitely going to hit. So, Brew, you're going to take 11 points of bludgeoning damage from his fist. Ouch. And he's going to swing again. And that's a 15, so he does not hit with his second fist.
That misses.
It's like his hand got a little hurt from the sharpness of your shell. All right, but he is very upset that the book has been grabbed and there is a cabinet still open. All right, Mr. Bull, you just got beat in the side by this giant monkey you're holding to the ground. You just flew through the air a second ago, and what are you doing?
Lucas, a little help over here. I don't know what's going on with this monkey, but it is pissed, and I am going to... What am I going to do? I am going to cast... I'm actually going to get up off of him and cast Misty Step as a bonus action to get back towards the opening of the kitchen and scream, Lucas, we gotta go. Come on. And then I'm going to cast an Eldritch Blast back at the monkey that's still on the ground.
Okay. You Misty Stepped away. Okay. All right. Yeah. Go ahead and make your roll.
15.
Hits. Yeah.
To hit. So he gets 15 force damage.
Boom. Just slammed it. Appreciate it. Damage. Still up. Still moving. So he's kicking. All right. Lucas.
I think we've overstayed our welcome, Bulk. Let's go. And how far away are we from the front door?
I mean, you're probably like 45 feet away from the front door, standing by the cupboard. 45, not 4 to 5.
14. Oh, okay.
Yeah, 4 T5. Yeah.
I will cast Hold Person on the monkey.
What does Hold Person do?
Target must succeed on a Wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed for the duration at the end of each of its turn. Can make another Wisdom saving throw.
And what do you choose? What do you have to choose?
Oh, I'm sorry. Choose a humanoid that can see within range.
He is not a humanoid.
Okay. I cast it thinking that it's going to work, and then I try and just run around him and run out the door, the kitchen.
Okay. As you approach him, he's going to try to grab you. It does for strength versus strength, so you need to get a strength check as well.
Six.
He did get an 11. I thought I was going to miss this time. Wow. So he's going to grab you, and for his action, he's going to try to rip the book out of your hands. So we'll do another strength that way. So he's holding on to you. He's using the other hand to try to rip the book out of your hand.
My book.
Strength be strength. Gosh, it's a 7.
15.
You're holding on tight to that book. He's got a hold of you, and he's trying to tug the book out of your hands. That was his turn. So, crew, your friend is grappled, and they're fighting over this book while he's being held as well.
I am going to run up to Lucas, grab him by the shoulder and say, this is gonna be weird, and I'm going to basically rake my claws down his arm, and then as I do, he starts turning into a mist. Gaseous form. One willing creature can turn into a mist, so basically the monkey will lose all grip on him.
One willing creature turns into a mist.
Into a misty cloud. And you have 10 feet of flying speed.
Is that on top of my normal speed, or is it just 10 feet?
10 feet.
Okay. I think it's just 10 feet, yeah.
Turns into a gas. How long does this form last?
It's concentration for 1 hour.
For 1 hour, okay. Ooh. Lucas, you're a gas. Jackson kind of freaks as he watches you fade. Just kind of get into like a hyper heavy breathing, overactive breathing, you know, like when you laid that brown bag.
Hyperactive.
What is that? Not hyperactive. When you're
hyperventilating.
Yeah.
He's hyperventilating. Yeah. He's starting to hyperventilate a little bit, and he's looking around the room trying to figure out what happened to Lucas. You're gas, Lucas.
I guess I see myself as gas, and I just go, and I turn around and start. What I think is running out the kitchen and move 10 feet.
Can you dash as a gas?
I don't know. Does it even say?
You used to cast that spell a lot, John, and your other character, do you remember?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I never really paid much attention to it because you're invulnerable, yeah. So, you know, why do you need to dash?
That's fair.
The target can enter and occupy the space of another creature. The target has resistance to non-magical damage, and it has advantage on strength and dexterity and con saves. You can pass through small holes, narrow openings, and cracks. It treats liquids as though they're solid surfaces.
I would say from that.
But
yeah.
It doesn't say anything about dashing. So.
Okay. So yeah, you move about 10 feet.
Yeah.
And you start moving. I don't think we actually hear you scream. I'm sure you imagine this scream, but as a gaseous form, I don't think you make any sound either. So, maybe like a fart sound. But Jackson turns around and looks at his butt to make sure it's not him, you know? So, but it is Jackson's turn. Seeing that his quarry has turned into a gas, he'll kind of look at, Crew and kind of bare his teeth a little bit, and then he's gonna back up to the cupboard and use his action to slam both the doors shut, and you hear it lock back into place. Then he's gonna turn back and bare his teeth again at you. Crew, your friend's a gas, and this monkey has walked away from you.
As he's closing it, the cabinets, I'm gonna say, good monkey, nice monkey. And then, as a bonus action, can I throw another coin at him?
Sure.
So I'm going to throw another gold piece at him.
Trying to hit him with it or just toss it in front of him?
Just toss it in front of him to see if maybe, like shiny object, distract type thing. And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to cast Gust on Cloud Lucas, which allows me to move him 10 feet.
Okay.
And I'm just going to follow behind.
Trying to push him. Yeah, I think we are out of initiative now. Jackson seems excited that there's a gold piece on the ground, and he kind of shrinks back down to his regular tiny flying monkey form. And y'all are still in a frozen house, but we are out of initiative.
So you didn't care that I took the book, just that the cupboard doors were open.
We don't know yet, so.
What we can assume.
Let's,
Do I know you have the book?
I still have the book, yeah.
No, do I know that you have it?
You...
Because I was tackling the monkey whenever
you were watching me, watching it try and take the book while when you ran up to me and turned me into a gas.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
John.
Okay.
For future reference, the rule book says any increase or decrease to your speed changes this additional movement by the same amount. If your speed is of 30 is reduced to 15 feet, for instance, you can move up to 30 feet this turn if you dash.
Ah, so you could have dashed 20 feet.
Yes.
Wonderful. So
continue on.
Perfect.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason Sketch here. Just wanted to say happy holidays from all of us at A Dicey Experience. Hey, did you guys know that we had a Q&A session coming up soon? That's pretty exciting. But we can't have a Q&A session without any cues. Guys, don't be afraid to send us some questions. Hit us up on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. And, of course, you can email us at adiceyexperience@gmail.com. It's pretty great living in the D&D world, doing some D&D games, and, you know, just getting to hang out with the buds. I think the best part so far this year is getting to being able to hang out with you guys. Thank y'all for hanging out with us for 24 episodes. Think about it. You've listened to 2 months worth of our content. Huh, just kidding. That is 12 months worth of our content. See, I could do math. Just took me a second. We are thankful for all of y'all taking the time. We really hope that you guys have a blessed holiday. And that just everything goes well and smooth for you guys coming up in 2023. We're excited to get to hang out with you guys coming up here in the next upcoming year. And we hope that 2023 is much better than 2022 has been for you all. Well, this is the last time you'll probably hear my voice in 2022. So if you don't hear it from us before then, Happy New Year. And may the odds ever be in your favor. Let's get back to the episode. John,
DM,
you're in this white space. Everything around you is completely white, except for your father, dressed in his suit and tie, and is now embracing you. I've missed you.
John doesn't say anything one way or the other. He embraces him back, but lightly.
Let's go. You look well.
John nods.
Did Nadar find you?
I've been sailing with Nadar for some time. Yes. I wouldn't say he found me. I was placed into his care.
Yes, by me.
By Anne Bonny. After I was... after Aunt Sully... unceremoniously destroyed my vessel and killed my crew and landed me in great debt with Miss Bonny, and I was pressed into service under Captain Nadar.
Knew that woman was crazy.
Well, I'm glad you shared that with me, Father.
He grows quiet for a moment. We were young. To tell you your aunt was insane was... but I never wanted you to be with her. It's odd that she attacked you on the seas. Didn't she have land of her own?
Of course she did. She wanted more. She's insane.
And you were a captain of your own ship, and she wanted to take her own family off the sea?
I was captain under her, and had quite a fleet under her. And then her insanity drove her to believe I was dividing her fleet from under her very nose. And I had to escape to land, but you know I was never happy on land. So I took a loan from Miss Bonnie to go on a merchanting venture, and on that venture, Saleh attacked me, stole my goods, and left me in great debt.
Sorry I couldn't be there.
I'm sorry you weren't there either. I think a lot of the pain in my life would have been avoided if, at the very least, your honesty had been present.
I was always honest with you.
A lie of omission is still a lie.
Lie to you about. What did I omit?
Being a Drake Warden? Whatever this astral travel is? The fact that my aunt was insane? And after, well, I suppose you wouldn't have known she was going to come after my life. But the fact that she was insane, at the very least, would have been nice to know.
Set it up so you would never be with her. I had made those plans, made those orders. Nadar was to find you. We were going to his boat. Why weren't you with Nadar?
That's a question for Nadar. I was a child.
But you're with him now. You're sailing with him now.
In a manner of speaking.
And perhaps he still is holding up his end of the bargain. As for the Drake Warden business, How do you tell your 8-year-old son that you serve a god that is, well, not even a god, a guardian, that has you going places that you never expected to go? That takes you away from your family from one mission at a time to help bring him back, help set the world free.
I think what you've just said is quite age-appropriate and would have gone a long way to explaining why my parents were ripped from my arms. Why I had to watch my mother be slaughtered in front of me. Why some random man who I had never met was dragging me through a forest. Would have gone a long way to explain things. Maybe not everything, but it would have been a step in the correct direction. Instead, I spent my adolescence, my young adulthood, completely alone, and with no explanation for why my parents were murdered by street bandits, highwaymen, lawless mercenaries, or perhaps, as I find out now, some evil force who desires some strange guardian not to be risen from the dead.
He stands there, quiet, not really looking at you. Kind of hear a voice echo around you. Almost like a breath of fresh air. Even though can't quite see it, brings a sense of peace. Perhaps that is all my fault. I am sorry, young one. I should have been better to lead in leading your father, teaching them how to interact with their children.
Jean just looks at the air around him, waiting for whatever this faceless voice is to continue, expound further, perhaps show themselves.
You see almost like a purple energy begin to swirl next to your father, almost like a kind of like a purple tornado sorts. Your dad kind of looks at him. Sardo, you don't have to. I think you've done quite enough. Well, I can teach him. I don't think he wants to learn anything from you. Gave you what you wanted. One more chance to speak with him. Have you anything else to say? Your dad looks at you, he's got tears in his eyes, and he just... All right, John, I'm sorry. I failed you. The man standing next to your dad is... got blonde hair, looks like a human. Generic features, nothing special except for maybe some blue eyes. But he's garbed in purple gi, just kind of head to toe. He is barefoot, though his fingernails and toenail colors are also purple as well. Kind of the same amethyst color that Nadar was. I wish I could have been a better father to you, but perhaps in death I can do better for you.
You'll have to forgive me, Father. I don't know what to say to you. I don't know who you are. And there's simply nothing that I have for you.
He nods, turns and he walks into the void of white. You're left standing there, the man in purple.
So when all this started, I was in like a sitting, like if I remember correctly, I sat down on a rock.
You sat down on a rock, and then it was kind of like a vision. You're being taken off into a white room where you're standing in just complete and total white.
Okay, so I'm not still in a seated position on a rock. I'm standing.
No.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
John will kind of, you know, wring his hands together and extend one out to this purple thing and say, it's nice to meet you. I'd like to be going now, if you don't mind.
It's nice to meet you as well. Puts his hand out to shake your hand. I'm Sadur. I'd be glad to take you home, but could I interest you in some tea in just a few moments of your time? Perhaps explain why you have him. Nameless spawns next to you and looks around confused. Where are we at, father? Sadur, he bows.
I appreciate your offer of tea, but I really must be going. I have compatriots who, I'm sure, are worried about where I am. They were supposed to be here with me. And while I'm sure your King Dragon Lord is very important to you, and getting him released from whatever cage he's in is a noble effort, I already have one insane person who is after my life. I don't need insane dragon people after my life as well. I would like to revive Captain Adar, get off of these seas, marry my princess, and live a quiet life at home. If you can help me in any way, I would be glad to have your service. Otherwise, I think I'll skip tea.
I see. I think you do misunderstand, though. This dragon guardian you speak of, I am he. And, as for Nadar's predicament, perhaps I can help you with that.
Yes, you spoke of a flower with some colors and some thorns or something. Do you have this flower?
He did not speak of any flower, Miss John. No, that was for the giant.
Oh, yeah. Nadar said something. Oh, I've got to go and find him. He was completely
helpful.
Yes. I'm petrifying, and with my last and final breath, I will give you zero information. So let me try one more time. Nadar spoke of some person who would be able to help him in the what's the place called where we're going? Dang, we got too many names and stuff. We gotta condense this down for old Jean's brain.
The terrarium.
Yes, Nadar spoke of some man in the terrarium who would be able to help. Are you this man by chance?
I may not be man he spoke of.
Do you know his name? Can you snap your fingers and bring Nadar back?
Not in this position. If you were to bring me back, then yes, I absolutely could snap my fingers, heal him of his condition.
Ah, well, that is quite unfortunate for you then, isn't it? It seems you have nothing with which to bargain.
You're right. I don't. And it's not my nature to force someone into servitude. But perhaps I could help you serve as a guide to help you find someone who is turned that can snap their fingers.
Why so much mystery? I perhaps I can find someone who might be able to, who has returned. Just give me a name and a location. There is this person in this place. Why is that so difficult for you, Drake Wardens?
Smiles. People move around, and, well, to be honest, the one person I can think of is Fizzband. He lives in the terrarium, and I don't know exactly where in the terrarium he is, but I can sense him as I get closer to him. Live in your sword. Explain more about that, and other ways to other pieces and where they're at, if you just take a moment and have tea with me.
I'm sure you're a delightful man, and I'm, as a once slave, I feel for your predicament. But when I was a slave, I saved up gold I went out and did things myself to free myself from my bondage. And if there was some way in which you might be able to help me now, in my current state, then I might give you something of myself. But it doesn't seem that there is anything that you have that you can give to me, other than the things that are already mine. My sword, my drake. So unless you can conjure up some sort of safety net that will prevent me from death at the hand of my aunt, perhaps you could kill off my aunt for me. Unless you are able to do any of these things, I'm afraid you might have picked the wrong servant.
I see. Chosen to take the path that many Drake Wardens have. It's fine. I've saved the world once, and perhaps I'll be released to save it again.
Save it from what?
From the Titans. Have you not heard the tale?
There was a summary last session.
Yes. Four that walked the earth.
Yes, I haven't seen them, haven't heard anything of them. I believe the earth is quite safe from them now. I believe perhaps they're in the same cage you are. And maybe, forgive me, I'm sure you are a great god, demigod, whatever it is you are. But perhaps it's best if your kind just left Earth alone and stayed in your cages where mankind put you.
He nods. Perhaps. Probably time you return back.
I'm not an unreasonable man. If you can help me,
you said you were.
I will help you.
I'm glad to help you. I can help guide you to people that might be able to serve the purposes that you...
I would appreciate that. And if I happen to be in the area, if I stumble upon another purple sword, I'll be more than happy to send it along to your people.
Very well. It's not exactly a purple sword. It's more to it than...
But of course, you're a demigod of a secret society, and I'm just a mere peasant, and you can't trust me with information.
No, I'm happy to tell you that information. It just, I felt that you did not want to listen. I'd like to know.
Well, then why haven't you told me yet? What are these items? Where are they?
Well, they are scattered across the plains, unfortunately. But we are traveling to the Terrarium to free Nadar, a place like that that, serves as a small gateway to several different planes of existence. Might be able to encounter some of my items there. There's the crystal sword, which you already have in your hands. There's the crystal ring. The eye of a dragon as its jewel. My eye carries my soul, just like your sword carries my mind. There's a crystal winged shield. Looks like two large crystalline wings. There's a crystal bow, carries my breath. Crystal mace. That stem looks like my arms, and its spikes like my claws. Then there's a crown. It looks like my tail wrapped on itself. That carries my wisdom. If you do happen to have time to bring all six of these items together, could bring me back and serve a greater purpose.
I see.
But if not, this is not of your interest. It's no big deal. Understand, and I'd be happy to help guide you to those that might serve your purposes as well.
Here's my greater concern. Let's say I gather all these magical items together to bring you back. And let's pretend for a moment that you are some benevolent ruler. Other thing might these items be capable of? For instance, if they were to fall into the wrong hands, could they destroy the sun? Could they lock you away forever? Could they wipe out all of mankind? Could they unleash the Titans? What could these items do other than free you?
If those that are trying to free the Titans and gather their statues have them, there would be no stopping them. They don't turn off the light of the sun. That's a good one. I've yet to encounter a guardian who can do such a thing. But if they do, if they fall into the wrong hands, they can make dictators and terrorists, and I would hate for anyone but Drake Wardens to carry them. They were meant for protection, not for harm. With the loss of Drake Wardens and their deaths, they have faded, disappeared, and I more so fear, though I would love to be returned, I more so fear that they will fall into the wrong hands, and a dark age could be brought by those who seek to do evil.
Well, I suppose I have your mind, so If you do wish to let me know when I am near one, be more than happy to add it to the collection.
Thank you for understanding.
But do not expect me to go out of my way unless there is a handsome reward. Or, I suppose, if the Titans do indeed show up.
And what is it that you want most in the world? I hear that you want to be married. I hear living free of your...
I desire my Elizabeth more than anything.
True love and a title.
Of course. If I'm lucky, I might be king one day. I think there's about 13 people in succession that would have to die, but I mean, a man can dream.
He smiles and he kind of points at you and he goes, can't make her fall more in love with you, but perhaps I can promise a title.
Well, that would be nice. I've been captain before. I think I'm a fair ruler. It'd be nice to expand some holdings. If there's not anything else, I'd very much like to return to my planet.
Very good. Yes, perhaps a title lays in wake for you as ruler of Dragon's Lair.
And perhaps the mystical crystal items will fall into my lap.
This will be a fun journey, won't it, John? Very well. It'll be an honor to travel with you, to say the least, whether this bargain works out for either one of us or not. It's time I return you. You see him grow large into this large amethyst dragon. He smiles. It's almost like grabs the ground from underneath you, and he throws you up. Find yourself back, sitting on the rock.
As John is flying up into the air, he's going to wave down and say, may the Titans never return.
Indeed. May they never turn. I think it's a good spot to end this evening. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you all for hanging out with us and on this crazy journey of backstory and lore and such. Perhaps Lucas will yet run away with some people.
Flirt away.
Bravely ran away.
That's exactly Lucas.
See y'all soon.
Okay, bye.